Maybe we should start with, and if we could ask each, because we want to make sure we have time for discussion, so if you could really keep your remarks to, say, the 5 minutes, that would be appreciated, so we can, there's a lot that's been thrown out here in terms of questions. So, Johannes, we're very privileged to have a tour from you the other day. Maybe you could start us off with a brief response to what you've heard.
Is it on?
Yes.
So, some of you might already know me. I'm a member of the team of Albert Speer and Partner in Frankfurt. I lead the office here. And in contrast to many of you who might have visited this city for the first time, and you might have a perspective from an airplane in 10,000 meters flight altitude, I'm crawling on the ground. I visited the city 5 years ago for the first time, and I live here for 2 years now. And I have to deal with everyday problems here. Referring to what Andrew Altman said yesterday, I'm constantly torn between daydream and nightmare. I want to add some of my very personal experiences and my very personal thoughts. First, I think we have to understand that Shanghai has no alternative to grow in a way as it does at the moment. And what the Shanghai municipal people need are very pragmatic solutions for their everyday problems. This is where I am in the front line of a battle to keep this city at least partly under control. Given this situation of daydream and nightmare, I'm constantly surprised how well this city works. If you see that within 2,000 years, London has performed the same development that Shanghai is now condensedly performing into 20 years. It's completely amazing how this is working. You have a functioning infrastructural system here, the public transportation works comparatively well, and it's a safe city. And I asked myself from the start, what are the energies that are behind this amazing process? And there it comes to a very close relation to what we have discussed about city structures and neighborhoods and things like that. I think that many Westerners completely underestimate the creativity and the sense of improvisation that arises not the least from a complete fragmentation of the inner city. What you experience when you live here is that this seemingly homogeneous block of very high density in the inner city is fragmented into a microcosmos of small quarters with sometimes very, very different, sometimes contradictory uses. And that the Chinese really make the best out of it, I tend to compare Shanghai with a very big laboratory, some kind of a social, infrastructural, cultural, economic, and urban design experiment, where many, many solutions that have been found in the Western world are now going to execute it in a small and larger scale at the same time. And this is really amazing to me how this works. And I believe that to a very huge extent, the creativity out of this fragmentation, of this manifoldness, is leading finally to solutions which are typical and particular Chinese and Shanghainese solutions. At the moment, our experience is, and we have done this with Antin Newtown, which you might have seen, is to contribute to the discussion by transferring European models of urbanization, of neighborhoods in particular, of hierarchy of open spaces to Shanghai. We have done this well knowing that there is a tradition to do so, because what characterizes the inner city, by my opinion, most significantly are the structures, the urban structures, which still are intact in the French and international concession, where this manifoldness and this fragmentation has taken place to a certain extent. So at the moment, we can really see what Richard Sennett as well remarked this morning, that there is kind of a nightmare happening, but this is already overcome. The next generation of the Chinese architects and urban designers are already thinking about melting this, what they have done in the recent years, what has been planned 30 years ago, with what they have to develop as their own expression and their own idea of a Chinese living environment in a megacity like Shanghai. And through many discussions with Chinese colleagues, I know that this is a very, very intense discussion, which is at the moment led among these Chinese colleagues. Our experience here shows that in many cases, on the first glance, it seems that the Chinese are highly resistant against advice. I have learned that this is only on the first case, on the first glance, the case. On the second glance, they carefully prove what we are offering to them, and they cannot be blamed for taking on our advice in the past. If there is an advice taking on, there are always two people responsible, one who gives the advice and the other who gives it, who takes it on. And more, it seems to me that they are very, very critical against what we suggest. And on the other hand, of course, we are more critical about what we suggest as well. There is an ancient Chinese saying, which I want to quote, and with that I want to finish my statement, regarding a foreigner's understanding of Chinese ideas and the Chinese approach when he comes to China. A foreigner who is coming to China at the first moment seems to know nothing about the Chinese way and the Chinese way of thinking, of approaching things. If he lives here for certain years, he has the feeling that he understands everything. I'm currently in this stage. If he lives here for many, many years, he knows that he understands nothing. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Johanna. We're